You know, when you're deep in cybersecurity, it kind of feels like this constant arms race, right? We build
Yeah.
these complex defenses, stronger walls, but there are always people trying to pick the locks, figure out how to get through.
Always. It never stops.
So today we're going to dive into something pretty central to that challenge, especially if you're, you know, looking at the CISSP. We're talking about cryptanalytic attacks.
That's right. We're going to unpack what they are, why they matter so much,
Yeah.
and really how understanding them fits into that bigger picture for security pros, the kind of thing the CISSP covers.
And to get our heads around this, we've looked at a couple of things. We checked out some discussions over on Reddit, the AmeriCISP community, actually. Good place to see how people are studying.
Yeah, real-world perspectives. And we also dug into a CISSP study guide, one that kind of lays out the core security ideas.
So the mission today for you listening is basically to pull out the key stuff about these cryptanalytic attacks from what we read and see how it all connects back to the CISSP domains without, you know, getting lost in super technical weeds. Exactly. Keep it relevant, keep it useful.
Okay, so first off, those Reddit threads. You see a lot of the same advice popping up for CISSP prep, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Lots of talk about practice exams.
Right, practice exams, and really digging into why you missed a question, not just memorizing answers. People mention Destination Cert, LearnZap.
The usual suspects. Exam cram videos, too.
Yeah, those came up. But one comment really stuck out to me. Someone mentioned needing to keep up with the latest exploits and vulnerabilities with real-world analysis.
That's such a key point. Because the CISSP isn't just about theory, is it? It's prepping you for the actual job.
Right.
And like that person said, knowing the current threats is just, well, essential. And cryptanalytic attacks, that's a major threat category you absolutely need to grasp. You know, an important thing here is that it's not always about the raw math of the encryption. Sometimes it's how it's implemented or how the keys are managed. That's often the weak spot. That makes total sense. And another Redditor kind of hinted that getting the CISSP might be about stepping up, maybe into management, or just seriously boosting your tech skills.
Yeah, either way.
Either way, you need to understand how things can be broken, right? These attack methods are fundamental.
Exactly. The CISSP really pushes understanding how all these security pieces fit together in practice, building resilience. And that actually leads us nicely into the study guide material, specifically around security assessment and testing.
Okay, security assessment and testing. How do cryptanalytic attacks play into that?
Well, the guide talks a lot about finding vulnerabilities. That's the core idea.
Okay.
And understanding cryptanalysis is, well, part of that. You might use vulnerability assessment tools to find potential weaknesses, sure. But then pen testing goes further. It
Yeah.
simulates attacks.
Okay. So it's like, can we actually break this?
Precisely. A pen tester might specifically try to crack the encryption on some sensitive data. And to do that effectively, you need to know the techniques, the cryptanalytic methods. Basically, ways to try and read encrypted stuff without the key. It could be brute force, like trying every key, or smarter attacks exploiting flaws.
Right. So it's not just ticking a box that says encryption used. You have to think about how someone might actively try to defeat it. Okay, this is interesting. The guide also talks about security architecture. Building an attack-proof system sounds ambitious.
It's definitely aspirational, but it focuses on resilience. The guide stresses, communication and network security, protecting those lifelines of information exchange.
Makes sense.
And cryptanalytic attacks are aimed squarely at those lifelines, trying to decode the messages we're trying to protect. So understanding them helps you design stronger systems from the ground up.
And it's not just the initial design, is it? The guide mentions things like common criteria, TCSEC, these evaluation models.
Right, those are frameworks for checking how strong the security actually is.
Okay.
So if your system relies heavily on crypto, part of that evaluation has got to be assessing how well it stands up to known cryptanalytic attacks.
Gotcha. So building the fortress, then checking the locks really carefully. Okay, let's zoom in on network security. The study guide calls encryption the secret sauce. The digital lock and key mentions AES RSA.
Perfect analogy, yeah. Encryption is fundamental for keeping network traffic confidential, but cryptanalytic attacks, that's someone trying to pick that digital lock without the key.
And that relates directly to things like man-in-the-middle attacks.
Yeah, absolutely. An attacker intercepts the communication, then tries to decrypt it. That's a classic scenario. And even with strong algorithms like AES, with a good key length, you still have to worry about side channel attacks or, like we said, bad implementations.
It really is that constant back and forth. The guide also pushes keeping network security updated, testing it regularly.
Definitely. You have to keep testing. And that testing needs to include asking, how vulnerable are our crypto implementations to the latest attacks? Network security isn't a one-time setup. It needs constant attention.
Okay, let's switch gears slightly to data security. The guide talks about encryption for data at rest, in transit, in use, all states.
And again, crypt analysis is the direct threat there. It threatens the whole point, confidentiality. If someone breaks the encryption, that data is exposed, period.
So it really hammers home the need for strong algorithms and good key management, even if the sources didn't detail key management itself.
Exactly. Strong crypto, sound key practices. They go hand in hand.
And this loops back to data classification too, doesn't it? The guide implies more sensitive data needs tougher protection.
Absolutely, it does. Mm. The sensitivity level drives the strength of crypto you need. And you have to make that decision knowing that cryptanalytic attacks exist and thinking about the impact if they succeed. Top secret stuff. You need the best, most vetted encryption you can get.
Makes sense. Okay, moving into software development security. Secure coding, application security testing, the guide hits on these.
Yeah, crucial stuff. When developers are building crypto into software, they need to code securely to avoid creating weaknesses someone could exploit with cryptanalysis.
Right.
And then testing static analysis, dynamic analysis, pen testing again, should be looking for those specific kinds of flaws in how the crypto has been put together.
The guide also mentions proactive things like security by design, threat modeling.
Vital. Thinking about threats, including cryptanalysis early in the development process. During design, it helps choose the right tools and implement them correctly from the start. Threat modeling helps predict where attacks might come from.
And this all fits into the bigger secure software development lifecycle, the SSDLC idea.
Precisely. Security isn't bolted on at the end. It's woven through every single phase, including choosing and using crypto correctly and defending it against analysis.
Now, what about when things potentially go sideways? Security operations, incident response?
Well, if there is a breach, a successful cryptanalytic attack could absolutely be the root cause of data exposure. So your incident response plan needs to account for that possibility. How do you detect it? How do you react?
And the guide brings up SIEM system security information and event management.
Yeah, SIEMs collect all those logs. And while maybe not explicitly stated in these sources we looked at, you could potentially see indicators of cryptanalysis in those logs. Maybe a huge spike in failed decryption attempts against one server. Or weird access patterns to encrypted data.
Ah. Like maybe tons of failed logins on an encrypted database might suggest a brute force attempt.
Could be, yeah. It highlights why monitoring those operational patterns is so important.
Okay, last area, risk management. The guide gives that classic formula. Risk equals threat times vulnerability times impact.
Okay. Cryptanalytic attacks, clearly a threat. Understanding them helps you gauge the vulnerability of your crypto and the potential impact if it fails.
Yeah.
And knowing that helps you pick the right mitigations. Maybe that means upgrading to stronger algorithms or implementing better key management procedures, making informed choices about risk.
Okay, so let's boil this down. For you, listening, our learner, what's the main thing to take away from this deep dive?
I think the biggest takeaway is that cryptanalytic attacks aren't some niche academic thing. They are a real significant threat category that, as a CISSP holder or candidate, you need to understand across all sorts of security domains.
Yeah, it touches everything.
Right, networks, data, software development, even incident response. The potential for someone trying to break your crypto is always there.
And it sounds like just having encryption isn't the end of the story. You need to be aware of how attackers might try to get around it.
Exactly. Understand the potential weaknesses, stay aware of how the threats are evolving. It's about being proactive.
So maybe a final question for you to chew on. With crypto and cryptanalysis constantly evolving, always leapfrogging each other, how do security pros make sure their defenses actually hold up long term? What are the most important proactive steps to stay ahead of that curve? Something to think about. Until our next deep dive.